Chapter 8. We struggled to breathe as we clambered up the hills and toward the top of the Emerald Peaks. No one said a word as we ventured onward, and thick beads of sweat dripped from my brow and spilled into my eyes as the air grew warmer and more stagnant. As we silently trekked further uphill, Alexander flew high above me with graceful ease.
Looks like we're in for one hell of a journey, Cole.
His voice reverberated inside my head.
Satan. I've never seen anything like this before. If you thought these hills were challenging, just you wait.
Why? What do you see?
Acres of crimson woodland between you and the gated kingdom. It looks like you were right. It'll probably take you a full day to cross the woods. If you're lucky.
Great. I muttered as I rubbed the salty sweat out of my eyes.
What's wrong, Cole?
Marina asked as she arched her purple eyebrows.
I'm no mind reader, at least not yet, but it seems like you're not too pleased by whatever Alexander just told you.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to trek through a red forest before we make it to the kingdom. It should take us about a day, if we hurry, that is.
No surprise there. You did say it would take a day.
Akira grinned with pride.
I never doubted you for a moment, Master. Neither did I.
Cersei added, with a wink.
Our master is all-knowing. Fucking hell, can you all stop mooning over Cole and focus?
Vanessa growled under her breath.
If there's a red forest ahead of us, it's the redwood and we need to be careful. There could be countless Ibridas lurking about. Ibridas?
Marina repeated as we pushed onward.
What are those? Oh, I know!
Morgana gasped as if we were in class.
Professor, may I please explain? Knock yourself out.
Vanessa muttered as her pale blue eyes scanned the path ahead of us.
Ibridas are crafted hybrids between Elder and Wicca magic.
The bookish brunette said as she struggled to breathe.
They can take the form of people, animals, trees, flowers. Well, you get the idea. Their blood courses with both light and darkness, but it is tainted forever by Elder power. And this kingdom we're headed to is filled with him.
Vanessa remarked as her black familiar followed on her heels.
As Miss Morgana said, they were born with tainted magic. It's filthy, really. But the point is, you must stay alert at all times. Who knows who could be watching us once we enter the Redwoods? Samara could have spies everywhere. So in other words...
Akira grunted as we reached the top of the hills.
We need to keep our heads low and our eyes peeled. Precisely.
Vanessa said once she caught her breath and pushed back her sweaty, loose strands of hair.
Simple spells will be safe, but others should be kept to a minimum. So, Cole, as much as you would like to show off with your advanced magic, let's keep it in your wand, shall we?
I had no intention of putting us into jeopardy, I said, and I did my best to not roll my eyes at the ill-tempered professor. Headmistress Theodora already made that perfectly clear. But thank you for the reminder, Miss Vanessa.
Good, and it's still professor to you. I'd hate to have to repeat myself through this entire journey.
An awkward silence filled the air as we pushed onward, and by the time we reached the very top of the hills, we all took a deep breath and steadied our labored breathing. Fuck. I gasped as I stared at the vast red woodland in front of us. Alexander wasn't exaggerating. That's going to be one hell of a walk. We all took a moment to stare out at the ocean of vibrant red trees before us. It was unlike any woodland we'd ever seen. All the leaves were deep shades of scarlet, crimson, and ruby, and beyond the redwood laid a grand and silver city kingdom with a castle that surpassed the tallest trees of the forest. The kingdom shone like a cluster of diamonds beyond the wash of blood-red trees, and as the early morning sun kissed everything in its path, a strange mixture of enchantment mingled with dread flowed through my mind like a coursing river, unsure of its true course.
It's incredible,
Marina remarked as her lavender eyes scanned the entire view.
But unnerving at the same time. I simply cannot explain it, but it feels like a deep concave of the ocean, mysterious, beautiful, and terrifying all at once. That's what hybrid magic is supposed to feel like.
Vanessa muttered as she bit down on her lower lip.
Come on, we'd better get going. There's no point gawking at it.
Agreed, I nodded. We have an entire day of walking ahead of us. As we headed down toward the forest's outskirts, Alexander fluttered above us and continued to play the role of our guardian in the sky. So far, I didn't feel any presence of danger lurking about, and strangely, the woods felt almost inviting. But I refused to give in to its alluring nature. It was a facade, and deep down I knew its power was meant to make us feel comfortable and to lower our guards so we could attack when we least expected it. We ventured through the bloodshot thicket, and we walked in tense silence for about an hour, until suddenly Circe stopped in her tracks and violently sneezed. The stillness shattered as birds cawed and flew into the air, and everyone jumped out of their skin before they turned to look at the blonde Wicca with wide, terrified eyes.
Sorry,
Circe whispered as her face turned a shade of rosy pink.
I couldn't hold it back any longer. Can't you sneeze any quieter than that? Satan, I think I lost a decade of my lifespan. I said I was sorry.
The blonde Wicca shrugged.
Anyway, now that we're talking, I was wondering about something. I didn't want to bring it up before, but now I don't see why not. And what's that? Well, what are we going to do about food?
The serpentine witch asked as her forked tongue flicked out and licked her lips.
I can go an entire day without eating, but it's not exactly a comfortable feeling. I was actually thinking the same thing.
Nyx grunted as she rubbed her stomach.
I'm fucking starving. I think Blondie is right.
Akira said as she tapped her chin.
It's not a great idea to keep going without something in our bellies. I'm inclined to agree.
Vanessa sighed as she rubbed at her temples.
That walk made me absolutely famished. Really?
Morgana questioned as she cocked her head to the side.
Yes, really.
The professor snapped back with an icy stare.
Believe it or not, Miss Morgana, I have needs too. So why don't we hunt then?
Faye suggested with bright eyes.
We don't have to use any powerful magic. We can just track something and kill it. With what?
Marina asked as she looked around the group.
We don't have any weapons besides our newly bonded blades the professor showed us how to craft. Oh, and our wands, but I don't think they were exactly meant for hunting. Well, we do have the dogs.
Penelope answered as she looked around the group for affirmation.
We can use them to kill small game, can't we?
Oh, I think that's a great idea, I replied as I looked down at the wolfish creatures. I'm sure they can catch something. Faye, do you know any simple spells for tracking animals? We need to save as much time as possible. There's no way we can waste an hour or more aimlessly trekking through the woods.
I do know of one.
The redhead responded with a proud smile.
It's something I learned when I was a child and living in the woods with my... Does it require powerful magic? Not that I recall.
The redhead said as she shook her head.
All I have to do is mutter a small incantation and whichever animal I can think of, their tracks will appear. Then by all means.
The dark-haired professor replied with a tight smile.
Go ahead. We don't have all bloody day. Right.
Faye nodded before she rolled up her sleeves and cleared her throat. And as her eyes darted warily around the red woodland, she carefully aimed her wand at the path in front of us and took a deep, steady breath.
Ostende mihi viam in qua cupio.
As the spell left her rosy lips, a pale pink light spurted out from her wand and lit up the forest floor. Then the incantation melted into the red earth until small pink footprints appeared in the dirt, and within seconds a clear trail presented itself before us. Now all we had to do was follow the tracks. Oh, shit. I chuckled as I turned to Faye. Well fucking done.
Thank you, Master.
The redhead said, and she blushed a deep shade of scarlet that matched the trees.
You can kiss each other's asses after we found food.
Vanessa sighed as she began to lead her familiar down the tracks.
Come on, before the trail gets cold. Someone is even bitchier when she's hungry.
Akira snickered under her breath, and all the women aside from Morgana started to giggle.
I don't know what you just said, Miss Akira.
Vanessa called back without turning around.
But I don't appreciate it. I was just saying how relieved I am that we'll be eating soon, Professor.
The black-eyed witch lied through her teeth.
That's all. Uh-huh.
Vanessa remarked as we followed the trail.
Miss Faye, since you seem to be the most useful when it comes to animals, perhaps you'd like to join me up here. Oh, yes, of course, Professor.
The redhead said before she ran to catch up with Vanessa.
What kind of tracks are these?
The former siren asked as we headed deeper into the wood. I think it's a rabbit or hare, I responded as I gazed down at the small prints.
Damn it. I was praying for something saltier, like leprechaun or newt. I'm so hungry I could eat anything.
Penelope moaned as we quietly followed the pink footprints, and soon we could hear rustling behind a grove of bushes. We all stopped, dead in our tracks, before Faye and Vanessa turned to each other and nodded. Then we watched as the redhead leaned in and whispered into her familiar's ear, and the professor did the same. In seconds, the two transformed dogs sprang toward the bushes and growled like feral wolves as they dragged out two large silver rabbits and began to tear their throats out. Bloody ribbons flew into the air before the other familiars also sprang into action and dragged more rabbits from the bushes. Blood splattered everywhere as the dogs wriggled their heads and cut deeper into the oversized rodent's gray fur. And by the time they were finished with their kill, we were looking at a dead nest of rabbits with their necks split open and their intestines spilling onto the forest floor like wet pink snakes.
Well done, Lily!
Faye purred as she rubbed her familiar's ears.
That should be enough for a stew. The babies aren't much, but they do make sweet meat. I can make the stew,
Penelope offered as we began to pick up the bloody carcasses.
And if I can find the right ingredients, I think I can add a special spike to it. What do you mean, a special spike?
Marina asked as she tilted her head to the side.
I can add a small potion mix to the stew. It will give us a boost of energy and increase our senses, like a nocturnal animal on the hunt after dusk. I think it might help us navigate through the woods as well. Sweet.
Akira remarked as she bit down on her purple lips.
Sounds like a winning combination to me. What ingredients will you need?
Vanessa questioned with a raised dark eyebrow.
I don't want you wandering through the forest aimlessly if the requirements you need are not here. I just need a pinch of root pony, a dash of goblin grout, and a couple of, mandala petals?
Penelope said as she rubbed her chin.
Yep, that's all I'll be needing.
Vanessa pondered for a moment.
I'm not sure about the grout, but the others should be here. Oh, she'll find it.
Morgana blurted out, and Vanessa shot her a cold, questioning glare.
What I mean is, I've read about redwoods before. The land grows almost everything as other woodlands. They're just red in color, but I don't believe they're harmful. And also, goblins can be found in almost any forest, so I'm sure the grout will be easy enough to find if you look in the right trees. Very well,
the professor said with a firm nod.
Just don't wander too far off, Penelope, and take someone with you. I won't take long.
The orange-haired witch promised before she fluttered her brown eyes at me.
Master, will you help me search for the ingredients while the others skin the animals?
Sounds good to me, I replied before I stared up at a branch above me. Alex, watch over them for me, please, and alert me if you see anything suspicious.
Will do,
my loyal familiar responded. Penelope and I parted from the others while they carefully began to peel the fur from the rabbits with their bonded blades. And as we ventured deeper into the woods, Penelope turned to look at me and slowly smiled.
Can you believe Vanessa is traveling with us?
She giggled as we passed over a couple of fallen red branches.
I think this is her worst nightmare come to life. I wonder how long it will take until she has her first mental breakdown.
No kidding. Sometimes I catch her glaring at me, and it takes her a minute to realize I'm staring right back.
Do you think she secretly wants you, Master?
The bright-haired Wicca asked before she came to a halt and bent down to cut a thick crimson root from the soil.
Sometimes I wonder if she puts on a show because she's jealous of our bond, you know? It just seems like her frustration is over the top and perhaps partly because all her needs aren't being met, if you catch my drift.
Oh, the thought has passed my mind, I confessed as she tucked the ingredient carefully into her peasant dress. I did vow to make every Wicca mine. And the professors were no exception. If I'm being honest, Vanessa's always seemed like a delicious challenge.
But do you think she'll give in to you?
Penelope asked with bright eyes.
You are truly irresistible, Master, but she's a tough shell to break, is all I'm saying.
I think she will, I responded with a cocksure grin. But it will certainly take time, just like it did with you. Now, what else are we looking for?
Goblin grout and the petals,
she said as her chestnut eyes studied the trees around us.
The grout should be inside the bark. It's a natural paste that grows inside stubbier trees, also known as goblin trees. So let me just cut into this one and see if I can snip some.
I watched as the orange-haired witch pulled out her blade and carefully carved into the bright red bark. And when she managed to snap off a chunk of wood, pale white paste began to ooze from the tree like pus from an open wound.
Oh, shit!
Penelope hissed before she handed me her blade.
Please, hold this for a moment, Master.
I took the blade from her, and then the orange-haired witch pulled a small glass vial from in between her breasts and began to collect the paste as it seeped down the red bark. When it was full, she corked the glass shut and tucked it back into her dress.
There we go!
She smiled as she turned to me and took her weapon back.
Now all we have left to collect are the petals. We're looking for a giant red flower with butterfly-shaped petals. If you see one, let me know. They blend in well with our surroundings, you know, in case a predator like ourselves is lurking about.
All right. Now, just out of curiosity, how often do you carry vials between your breasts? I joked as we turned around and began to scour the forest floor for the flower.
It's always good to be prepared.
Penelope chuckled as her wide, dark eyes skimmed the earth.
Right? You never know when you're going to have to brew a special drink, or in this case, a meager rabbit stew.
I wholeheartedly agree, I said as my eyes landed on a large, bright, butterfly-shaped flower hidden beneath red, vine-like bushes. Look, I think I see the flower.
Where?
Penelope asked before I pointed to the plant.
Oh, that's it! Brilliant eyes, Master!
Penelope carefully treaded toward the flower before she carefully plucked the oversized petals and gently slid them into her dress pocket. She then turned to me and flashed me a bright, proud smile. Ready to head back? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
Yes, Master.
She responded before we marched back to join the others. By the time we returned, a small fire was crackling, and the women appeared to be in deep discussion over a small bubbling cauldron. But when they heard us approaching, they whipped their wands out and spun to face us in unison.
Oh, it's just you.
Vanessa grunted before she retracted her wand and safely tucked it back into her skirts.
It's a good thing I looked before I blasted you into shreds.
How's it coming along? I asked as I ignored her comment.
We've just been waiting for you, Master.
Circe replied as she raised the skinless rabbit up into the air and smiled.
Doesn't it look cuter without the fur?
Sure. Where'd you get the cauldron?
Vanessa conjured one up.
Marina explained, and when the dark-haired professor shot her a glare, the purple-haired Wicca cleared her throat and looked down in shame.
Apologies. I meant Professor Vanessa.
Okay, great. We've got the ingredients, so I suggest we give Penelope room to work. We can even scavenge for some potatoes, carrots, or anything to add a bit more flavor.
Yes, Master.
My coven answered in unison, while Vanessa simply shook her head and sighed.
Fine, but please, make it edible, Miss Penelope.
The dark-haired professor said with an arched eyebrow.
Just because I'm hungry doesn't mean I'll eat absolutely anything. Of course,
Penelope began until we heard a deep humming noise echoing all around us. Everyone was on their feet in the blink of an eye, and fingers were discreetly curled around blades and wands. I glanced frantically around the red woodland as I tried to figure out where the hell the noises were coming from.
Oh, may we have a taste?
Chuckled an older woman's voice that sounded like it was coming from right behind me.
We're so hungry.
Not hungry. Famished.
Shrieked another mysterious voice before it broke out into hysterical laughter.
I'm sure you are,
Akira said through her teeth as her black eyes darted back and forth like a wasp.
Just not for fucking rabbit. What are you doing so deep within the redwood?
Cackled another shrill voice.
Don't you know? It's unwise to venture deep into the Crimson Forest. Shadowy creatures are lurking in every corner and crevice.
Why don't you just show yourselves? I demanded as I whipped around. Or are you that afraid of us?
Not at all.
Another voice said. And when I turned to face a nearby tree, I nearly jumped back as a pair of eyes stared right at me.
Did I startle you?
The same voice asked. And as their eyes blinked, I took a small step back and looked at all the other trees surrounding the group. Each one had a pair of vibrant, sun-yellow eyes staring right at us, and suddenly a chilling wind swept over us and blew out the fire we had brewing. I could feel my blood turn to ice as I glanced around the darkening wood, and as menacing laughter filled the air, all the hairs on my skin stood on end.
Lignicutis!
Vanessa hissed as she pressed her back against mine.
Take out your wands. If we're going to leave this forest alive, we're going to need to use magic. No blade will take out these bitches.
My heart began to thump wildly inside my chest as I slowly pulled out my wand. Soon, pairs of arms and legs began to emerge from the bark, and once we were surrounded by a group of towering, ghoulish-looking women with long arms, bark-like skin, and black claws, I knew Vanessa was right. Blades wouldn't suffice. We'd have to use magic to fight our way out of this one.